Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We are joined now by Nikki Kay of Sports Spectrum Los Angeles. She's a Los Angeles native, but don't hold that against her. Nikki, how are you?
AJ, it is so fantastic to hear your voice, and thank you for the disclaimer there. I'm so excited to join your airwaves. I understand, though, as it always seems to happen this time of year, the playoff push, the seeding excitement, it just never disappoints, does it?
It never does, and you are always in the middle of it, covering the Lakers and the Clippers. So most importantly, the news breaking just about an hour ago, Woj saying that LeBron is not going to make his debut against the Knicks tonight. This is really the only, dare I say, tough-ish game on the Lakers' schedule. How does LeBron not playing affect their chances against New York tonight?
Well, it's really interesting because you look at the New York Knicks, and who could have foreseen this team right at the start of the season being one that you'd circle on the calendar as, oh, wow, this is a big one for the Lakers to at least secure, you know, some confidence heading into the playoff push and the seeding race that's going on. But what's interesting is the reports coming out of the Lakers that, you know, from LeBron having practice on the 10th to Anthony Davis talking about him on Sunday, looking really good, you know, getting some lift off. And then to all of a sudden this news that he would not be taking the court tonight. And I had been largely under the impression, along with a lot of the other Lakers beat reporters, that, you know, this was kind of the game that was circled as a likely return for him. However, that will not be the case. And you look at the Knicks and what they bring into town, and it's a tough defense. It's Julius Randle, who's having a killer season, and it's a Tom Thibodeau-led team that really is feisty. And so whether that has the bearing on why LeBron is not playing tonight or not, it's really just quite an interesting narrative shift on the Knicks franchise in general.
How much are we looking at this Lakers team? We know the undoubted talent between LeBron and AD, and then Dennis Schroeder kind of running the show there. And, you know, you've got 2/3 of that are out, and Anthony Davis missed 2.5 months. How much ramp up time do they need together before they can feel comfortable in the postseason?
Well, it's really interesting because the ramp up was almost last October, right? When they were in the bubble. And this is a team that pushed it so hard, so late into the season, and is now, you know, kind of facing the repercussions with injuries. But you've got the stars that have developed their chemistry. And then it's really going to come down to players who are kind of showing flashes in the, I guess, the losing ways of the Lakers. You look at someone like Alex Caruso stepping up. Dennis Schroeder has been injured as well. I mean, it's just a team that, like, anyone you talk to, whether it's a fan or someone, you know, who's been following them closely night in, night out, it's like, yeah, the Lakers should be fine if they're healthy. So that ramp up time, I don't think chemistry is so much of a concern as is the literal getting your legs underneath you.
That makes a lot of sense. And the other LA team that in Portland, we're keeping a really close eye on, because if the season were to end right now, it would be 3-6 Clippers, Blazers. But this Clippers team is one that's been scary all season, and yet they have also lost 4 of their last 6. They did beat the Lakers, but we just talked about all the injuries there. So what is it about the Clippers that are they sort of in the same position of, hey, when the playoffs come up, they're just going to ramp it up and we can't take a look at really how they've been playing lately?
Well, I think if there's one team in the league that cannot assume to flip a switch, it's the Los Angeles Clippers, and that's because of the performance. We saw them kind of tumble, flop, whatever you want to call it, choke their way into in the bubble. And if you're the Clippers, you got to be kind of shaking in your boots if you're going up against the tough metal of Dame and CJ, because those Blazers are gritty, they're scrappy, and they, I think you guys know first and foremost what that team is, what your team is capable of. And meanwhile, the biggest question marks in the NBA might lie over Paul George and if he can actually live up to his playoff P name, which right now, you know, whether he's had a great season or not during the regular season is one thing, but if you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk in the postseason. So I'm really intrigued to see how Rondo and playoff Rondo will make a difference in the postseason for this locker room, because I do think the Clippers have a little bit of a gap in leadership. Not saying that Kawhi and Paul George aren't standout talents in and of themselves, but their personalities don't lend themselves to being those leader types in these tough positions. So if you're in a series with the Blazers and Dame and CJ get hot for one night, how are you going to respond?
You know, there's the potential of, you know, whether it's Portland, the Lakers, or Dallas being that team in that 3-6 matchup. Who do you get the sense that the Clippers would rather see in that 3-6 matchup? Because I'm going to throw the Lakers out there. Is it Portland that they want?
I do think that Portland would probably be the best matchup for the Clippers in an early round. But then, you know, there's this whole debate, right, where if you're going to have to face the Lakers at all, why not face them when they're a little bit beaten down and beleaguered? But then it's like, all right, well, why not have someone else take care of the Lakers if that's the case, right? It's that whole, you know, kind of conundrum of who would you rather face first, take them while they're weak, or would you just rather not risk it and see if someone else can get the job done for you? So this is kind of what the best part of this time of year is it's kind of like the narrative going into it, the ifs and the would you rathers. But I do think if push comes to shove, you'd rather hope that someone else can take care of the Lakers so that you don't have to face them at all.
That makes a whole lot of sense. Everyone still, despite all the injuries, despite what the Lakers have been through in the last few months, the Lakers seem to be the ones that continuously set the standard. So, Nikki, before we let you go, the West is always so fun when it comes down to playoff time. Yes. This play-in tournament is just fascinating to watch unfold. Have you seen, obviously we all know LeBron's comments last week about the play-in tournament, but what do you think about this play-in tournament? You like this, the way it's working out and the emphasis that it's placing on the end of the regular season?
I do. I am all for anything that provides more storylines, imagine the game, right? You tune in to watch the Warriors and Lakers in a play-in, in the Steph versus LeBron storylines that are, you know, circling, and if Steph has an electric performance against, you know, the reigning champs and what it could mean for history and, you know, legacy, it's just, I'm all for the drama. And I think that this play-in tournament certainly provides that. So sign me up for it. How do you guys feel about it?
Oh, we love it. Drama. Yeah. Or I love it, I should say. Dusty? Yeah.
No, I love it too. Because it's made the top of the both East and West more interesting too, because they're not tanking and jockeying for position either.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you're not quite sure who you'll be facing, right? Like
right.
All of a sudden that 7 and 8 positioning isn't, you know, it's not so so much of a gift for the 1 and 2 seeds. It's like, oh boy, all of a sudden we've got the Lakers as a 7 seed or an 8 seed. So it will be really fun. I was kind of surprised, but not surprised, when I heard those comments from LeBron, as much as I could say, but I think it's a treat for fans.
Yeah. Cause it sucks when you are 7th and you have to be in that play-in game.
Everyone likes the drama, unless it's your drama. That's then you're right. Like, nah, yeah. I don't want anything to do with that.
100%.
Nikki, thank you so much for joining us. And by the way, you guys are going to be seeing her, a little bit more of her too, because I got to give you a shout out. The LA Galaxy's new sideline reporter as well.
Oh, hey.
So congratulations to you, Nikki. So freaking proud of you. Love watching you shine. And thanks for coming on.
Hey, Jake, let me know when you're down here next, girlfriend. I can't wait to see you. And Dusty, hopefully our paths cross soon. But you got a standout co-host right there. She's one in a million. So I'm really grateful to join you guys.
Thank you for joining us.
You're the best, okay. Nikki. Talk to you soon.
Have fun. Bye, guys.